Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page Podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Retall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
Okay, in this episode, we're going to be talking about the items that are in the January 2008 previews, and most of these items are going to get released in March, give or take a little, depending, you know, when they actually come out.
Got my fingers crossed.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff this month. Let's go ahead and always and just kind of start from the beginning of the previews, and Dark Horse is going to be doing a Serenity Better Days comic. And Joss Whedon's writing it, so, man, that's got the potential of doing just as well as Buffy.
Right. It's another prequel to the Serenity movie, so and hard to tell exactly when it's going to take place. I mean, it's before Serenity, but where does it fall on the Firefly timeline? We'll kind of figure that out as we go along.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of both the TV series and the movie, and, I mean, Joss Whedon knows how to write comics. I'm really looking forward to that. And the Adam Hughes cover looks amazing.
Yeah, so Wash is on it, so you know it has to be before the movie.
Yeah, well, they know that now at least.
Spoiler for the movie. If you, anyone who's not seen the Serenity movie is not going to be buying this comic book, so I'm not spoiling too much. So.
Yeah, and if they are, they probably...
you don't like the whole concept of Firefly and Serenity if you haven't seen the movie by now. It's been out over a year.
Yeah. Now, they've got on page 46 with Buffy the Vampire Slayer number 12, Drew Goddard is writing it. So this will be, I guess, the second writer change, which is, you know, planned for the different arcs and stuff. And this series has just been fabulous so far. Continuing to enjoy it. It continues to stay in the top 10. You know, and with this new storyline starting, it looks to keep getting better and better.
Right. I'm really liking the series. It looks like they got a new cover artist. Not Joe Chen anymore doing the painted covers. This looks like John Foster.
Yeah.
It says here.
Yeah.
This looks interesting.
The covers have just been unbelievable. Both the regular one and the variants and stuff.
Yeah.
They're really pulling out all the stops on this.
And it shows in sales, you know,
yeah.
It's been blowing it out because it can't just be because it's Buffy, because there were Buffy series before that were not in the top 10 consistently. And that old Buffy series went on for a long time and it didn't do nearly this well.
No, this is doing about 3 times as well. And I think part of it is Joss Whedon being involved. Part of it is it being an official, you know, kind of continuation of the series. And part of it just being really, really good. Now, this Drew Goddard is apparently a screenwriter for Buffy and for Lost. So that's probably how Joss Whedon knew him. And, you know, it's good to have an actual writer for the TV series beyond just Joss Whedon, who did Buffy, the TV series, coming on for the comic. It further legitimizes it, if you will.
Right.
Now, next up, we've got a clip from Chris Johnson, so I'll go ahead and play that.
Hey, Comic Book Page podcast listeners, this is Chris Johnson, and I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to a book on page 48 of the January previews. It's The Goon, number 22, written and drawn by Eric Powell. And I'm a latecomer to this series. I've only read the first 3 trades of it, but I have to say, I think it's just one of the best comics being produced today. Stories are funny and have a lot of action in them. The artwork is fantastic. Every issue, the covers that Powell does are just beautiful to look at, just fantastic. And the basic just story of the Goon is just a tough guy and his sidekick Frankie just beating the crap out of a whole bunch of zombies and horror and hijinks ensue, and it's just a really fun book. Great presentation of it that Powell does. These little, you know, like he'll throw in some fake ads that are just there just to be funny and random, and it's just a good time. And so, if you like humor books and, you know, zombies being dismembered, then this might be a book for you to pick up. It apparently hasn't always been monthly, it's been bi-monthly, but in 2008, Eric Powell's going to try to make it a monthly book, so this is a good time for you to start jumping on to it.
Cool.
And Chris Johnson is the co-host of the Amazing Spider-Cast on the podcast. Are they on the podcast network?
I would have to go check, to be honest. And he also started up the Bat Signal podcast, didn't he?
I don't know if the first episode of that ever came out. I have not downloaded. I'll have to go look for it.
Yeah, I haven't checked either. I'm negligent on that, and I apologize. Because I've really enjoyed the Amazing Spider-Cast episodes I've listened to. It is a good podcast.
Yep. And their last episode, they had some issues with the ending of One More Day. It went on for a while on that, and Ian from Comic Timing was on that episode, too.
I can't imagine people didn't like that story. No, I'm kidding. I should listen to that episode, because I had some issues with that storyline, too.
I think it was 55 was the episode number.
Dare I ask how long it was?
Oh, it was like 2 hours or something.
Oh, God.
They did some other stuff in the episode. They had some, like, you know, other business, you know, voicemails and emails. And
right, right.
There was probably a good hour of bagging on that storyline, though. So.
I can understand that. That's funny. But we've got another contribution, this time from Damien, and let's listen to that.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again from the Cryptographic Podcast with, this is the first of a few selections actually I've got this month for you. First one will be on page 49, which is Hellboy the Companion. Now, I actually got into Hellboy rather late in the pack. I've been reading through trades basically ever since it came out in that format. I've been loving it ever since. I've been reading all the BVRD ones as well. And to coincide with the actual new movie, they're releasing a companion for the whole series. So it's actually showing timelines of where everything's happening, maps, you name it, it's in there. This is going to be a great little book. It's going to be $14.95. I can't wait for it. 200 pages, you can't go wrong. So really, go and check this out. If you haven't read Hellboy before, grab some of the books, go see the movies, see the animated, but this book is going to sort of be the spine of the whole Hellboy universe, so go and grab that if you can.
Cool.
And I missed that somehow. I have to add that to my list because I really like the Hellboy.
I read some of the early stuff. It just wasn't, you know, my cup of tea, but man, this sounds like a great packaging for the material.
Yeah, I'm picking up that new Hellboy library that they're putting out. They had the first hardcover, slipcase hardcover, I think, solicited last month, so this would be kind of neat with, you know, if there's timelines and stuff like that. So I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds good. I think that pretty much covers the highlights of the Dark Horse stuff. Shall we move on to DC?
Sure.
Now, the first item I wanted to talk about was this Tangent Superman's Reign on page 69. It's the first of a 12-issue series, and it's kind of introducing the Tangent characters to their DC counterparts, which I think is got a lot of potential and could be very interesting. And, you know, they've already started doing a little of this in, I guess it was Justice League. You know, it really has me curious what's going to happen with the Tangent Universe, because, I mean, this 12-issue series is going to span pretty much the duration, I would think, of Final Crisis. So, and it just looks like a lot of fun. Dan Jurgens is writing it, and he was the guy behind the whole Tangent stuff to begin with, so he's the perfect choice.
Yeah, that was a really good issue of Justice League, too.
Yeah.
That had the Flash and a guy with the Green Lantern. It was the Green Lantern, right? Somebody on our Earth found the Green Lantern. It was in Guy Gardner's storage space. That was funny.
Yeah, and I think it was it the, who was the other character that crossed over? Adam, maybe?
Yeah, it was Adam and then the Flash, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And anyone who likes kind of Elseworld-type stuff or what-if-type stuff definitely should go check out the collected editions for the Tangent. They did two runs of that stuff, so I think there are two trades for it. And it was just fun. It was taking existing character names for the DC stuff and just putting a whole new spin behind them. And it was kind of like the Just Imagine Stan Lee stuff, but a whole bunch of different creators and different takes on classic DC character names. Definitely fun stuff.
Right. And they're putting a big push on the Atom because she was in Countdown Arena also.
You mean the Flash.
The Flash. Sorry. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, her appearance in Arena was interesting. A bit surprising. Next thing I think we wanted to talk about was on page 72. Do you want to talk about that New Frontier special?
Yeah, I'm a really big fan of Darwin Cook's New Frontier kind of Silver Age 50s take on the beginnings of the DCU with kind of a special emphasis on the Justice League. And this one sort of coinciding with the release of the New Frontier movie, which looks to be really good, is kind of a lost chapter that has a firsthand look at King Faraday's quest to outlaw mass vigilantes. And it's going to have backup stories with Wonder Woman, Black Canary, Sergeant Rock, and just all kinds of bonus material, it says, for the movie. So I'm really looking forward to this one. I really like the New Frontier-averse. Although it makes the New Frontier Absolute Edition sort of not completely absolute anymore. So
yes.
There's a dark side to that then.
Funny. No, I read the New Frontier stuff after you gave me the trades for it, and it is good stuff. Darwin Cook knows what he's doing, and it was a nice period piece take on the characters. Definitely, you know, respectful for their origins and the time frames and stuff, which I liked. On the next page, on page 73, we've got Green Arrow Black Canary number 6. And this is where they're starting to investigate who's behind the goings-on at the wedding and, you know, how does that connect with what happened to Connor Hawke and things like that. And I tend to run kind of hot and cold on Judd Winnick's writing. Sometimes I really like it, sometimes I don't. I think this is the best stuff he's done in years. Probably the best stuff he's done since the beginning of Exiles, and probably even better than that in a lot of respects. This series is a lot of fun. They're doing some cool stuff, and it's one that, you know, I'm really enjoying and highly recommend.
Yeah, I'm liking this a lot more than I thought I was going to.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of these new series come up, and you're like, you know, I love the DCU, so I'm going to get, you know, most everything that comes out. But, you know, a lot of them are kind of like middle of the road kind of thing. So this is really very good. Near the top of my list, stack, each time it comes out.
Yeah, I figured it'd be okay, but I've been blown away by the quality of it.
Another one I'm just going to like throw in on the off the cuff here just because I like it so much. I think you do too, is on the very next page because I kind of saw it bleeding through here, is Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters. We've talked about that before, and kind of the thing I like most about that series is the Red Bee, and it looks like this issue promises to have more Red Bee fun and hijinks going on. So if you haven't checked that series out, check it out.
And that's one that I think is flying under a lot of people's radar. This series has been a lot of fun. It's been really good. I enjoyed the previous Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters series, and some of this kind of spun out of the Crisis Aftermath battle from Bloodhaven. So if you liked any of those previous things, certainly check this out. Again, like I said, I think a lot of people just don't realize it's out there, and it's really good.
Yeah, the caveat I put on that is it's a lot better than the Battle for Bloodhaven.
I think they've gotten better and better with each series.
Right. But, I mean, I thought that the Battle for Bloodhaven was okay.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't great.
Yeah.
I really, really like this particular one, though. I like this a lot more than I liked the Battle for Bloodhaven.
Well, I would say the Battle for Bloodhaven was okay. I thought the previous Uncle Sam and the Freedom Fighters was pretty good, and I think this one's really good.
Yeah.
So I think it just keeps going up a notch every time.
Right.
Then on page 79, we wanted to talk about kind of the new creative team on Superman. And that's more a change on the art stuff. It's got Kurt Busiek writing it, but it's got art by Renato... How do you pronounce that last name?
I would say Guedes.
Renato Guedes. And he did the OMAC miniseries, or at least started on that?
Yes, he was on the OMAC miniseries. He's got just a very, very interesting style. Very fine line work. I would almost compare it, if anyone's ever looked at Eric Schanauer's stuff on Age of Bronze or any of that old Oz stuff that he did, I think it's similar to that, in that he's got a very polished line style.
Yeah, it's a clean and like you said, very fine style to it. And it looks nice.
And this issue introduces Chloe Sullivan from the Smallville TV series into the comic book DC universe. That's another thing that's notable about this issue.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like a lot of fun. A lot of the stuff they've been doing over in the Superman titles, particularly the Superman and the Legion of Superheroes story over in Action, has been really good. So, and this looks like a really good choice for a new artist for Superman.
Right.
Next up, we've got a submission from Ian Levinson from Comic Timing, and he's going to cover three comics, one from DC, one from Marvel, and one independent. I wonder where he got that idea.
Hey guys, it's Ian from the Comic Timing Podcast over at SpeakGeekSpeak.com/comic timing. Back with three more picks for you this time for the month of March. And I'm going to start things off with DC this time around. And let's begin with Blue Beetle number 25. This one's written by John Rogers with art and cover by Raphael Albuquerque, I believe. I hope that's how you actually pronounce his name, because that's certainly what it looks like to me. But if I'm butchering it, make sure to let me know. This is the conclusion to pretty much a 25-issue story arc that's been going on here. The final battle with the Reach will finally take place in this issue. And from the looks of the cover here, we're going to have a whole bunch of familiar faces that you haven't seen together with this particular Blue Beetle, but you did see him with Blue Beetles from the past. As on the cover, you've got Guy Gardner, Booster Gold, Fire, and I believe Ice as well, all on the cover, and they were obviously teammates of Ted Kord, the previous Blue Beetle. This one's going for $179 on DCBS, and the product code is JAN080177. Regular price on this one is $299 if you're picking up in the LCS. If you've been following Blue Beetle, this is definitely an issue to pick up, because like I said, this wraps up pretty much what's been happening all 25 issues of the series. And even if you're not a fan of Blue Beetle, or at least haven't been up until this point, give it a shot, because you know what? It's a closing issue, so it's obviously going to be something that would lead into the next story arc very well, and that might be the story arc that gets you into Blue Beetle in the future. Who knows? Let's switch over to Marvel here, and I've got one for you, which is a wonderful discount as well. It's 99 cents on DCBS, a product code of JAN082192. That's JAN082192. And this is the fantastic Brian K. Vaughan's Logan miniseries. It begins here with issue number one. It's art and cover by Eduardo Risso, star artist of 100 Bullets. And obviously, Brian K. Vaughan has been all around the place with Why the Last Man and Ex Machina, and before that, Runaways, and the list goes on. I don't really need to go through everything he's done before, because I'm sure you've heard of him before. And he's never really been able to tackle Wolverine outside of the Ultimate Universe before. So now we get to see his take on Wolverine. And I'm sure it will be an interesting one. And the art looks absolutely superb from the cover, so I'm sure it's going to look as good in the final pages. So definitely give this one a shot if you have the opportunity. Once again, it's 99 cents on DCBS and $3.99 in the shop. So definitely, if you get it online, make sure to get it online, because you're going to be saving yourself a lot of money that way. And also, it is on sale elsewhere, as Heroes Corner also has it for a buck. From the looks of things, most of the online retailers are indeed discounting this issue, and rightfully so, as it's a jumping-on point, and it certainly would be at least worth a shot for issue number one. And I'm going to end this off with a independent. This one's out of Dynamite. It's hard for me to pass up a title like this, mostly because it has sort of a reuniting of sorts in some way or another. As well, Bruce Campbell has played a lot of characters over the years, one of which was, of course, the King of Thieves himself on Xena and Hercules. Well, another one of the characters he's played over the years is Ash. And, well, this is literally called Why Not, because it's Army of Darkness Xena Why Not Number 1. It's by John Layman and Miguel, I believe it's Montenegro. If I got that wrong, make sure to let me know. And, well, this one is just hell. It's going to be fun. That's the best way to put it. Just like Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. This is the sort of title that didn't have to happen, but the fact that it is happening means it should be pretty cool. Now, one thing I will warn you about this is, from the looks of things, unless they settle their differences, you're not going to get John Layman for this full series. As I believe it was going to be a 5-issue miniseries before this, and they have since severed ties, Dynamite Publishing. This could change for all I know. I certainly hope so, because this was his baby. He's been working on it for the last couple of years. So here's hoping John Layman gets to finish his story. But at least we get the start here of the story. It's $1.75 on DCBS. The order code is JAN083507. Once again, that's a Dynamite Entertainment, so that's DE in the section, and certainly worth the price. It's 50% off on DCBS, and also on Heroes Corner, it's got a little bit of a discount as well. Not nearly as much there. It's $2.10, but it's still discounted there. Give these titles a shot. See if you like them, and hopefully I've given you good ideas. So I'm going to send it back to John and Bob here. If you want to hear more from me, once again, check me out at speakgeekspeak.com/comic timing for more comic timing. And, well, take it away, guys.
Thanks, Ian, for that great contribution, and certainly anyone who's not checking out Comic Timing really ought to be. Ian runs a great podcast. It's a lot of fun. And I hear he's going to have some excellent guests on soon.
And I get Blue Beetle all the time, but I hadn't really realized that that Reach story was coming to a culmination in this issue, so I'm really looking forward to that now. So that's been really kind of an interesting storyline, and it's been running through Blue Beetle for quite a while.
Well, and it's also reassuring that it's not the final issue.
Yes.
It's good that that story is coming to a close, but that they're going to keep going with the character. Because I was just noticing that the JLA Classified issue solicited in January is the final issue, which I guess means they ran out of inventory stories.
It's like a mercy killing. Jeez. I love the Justice League JLA Classified series. It's been really bad.
Well, it's just been incredibly uneven. It's had a few things that were pretty good, but they were too few and too far between.
Yeah.
I'm not sorry to see that one go. I hope they replace it with something really good.
Yeah.
Now, you wanted to talk about Green Lantern 29 on page 85?
That one just looked interesting because they're having kind of a new take on the, you know, secret origin of Green Lantern, you know, Hal Jordan. And usually I kind of wince when these kind of things happen because, you know, a writer comes in and, like, just does something disrespectful of, you know, the previous origins when they kind of redo or revisit origins. However, the difference here is that it's Geoff Johns doing this, and he has yet to disappoint me with something like that because he's always very respectful when he does these things, and he weaves things in ways that I could have never imagined, but, you know, which is a sign of a good writer, but, you know, in a very excellent way on how he does this stuff. So I'm really, really looking forward to how he's going to handle this one and how he's going to give us a new take on this, and he'll be kind of weaving Green Lantern's origin in with this whole Blackest Night thing that's coming up and how Abin Sur might have been relating into that and other stuff like that. So really something to look forward to there.
Yeah, and I agree. If it was almost any other writer saying, "Ooh, we're going to revisit the origin," I'd be thinking, do you really need to? Because in a lot of cases, like you said, it could be a train wreck. But my God, Geoff Johns has done this sort of a thing with Hawkman, with a number of characters in the JSA stuff. He is probably the most respectful writer in terms of the history and making aspects of it work in the modern context that DC has. So this is almost guaranteed to be a great story.
Yeah.
Definitely a good pick. Next up, we've got a submission from Brent Cassina, so let's listen to that.
Hey, John and Bob, this is Brent Cassina back again with another selection for your previews episode. For March, I want to recommend Trials of Shazam, number 12 of 12 from DC. It's written by Judd Winnick and art and cover by Mauro Cassioli. There have been some problems with this title. You know, it's been delayed. It's taken it like 2 years for it to come out. You know, Howard Porter kind of slowed down his style, I guess, to do it all digitally and color himself and all that. And it looked great. The only problem was he broke his drawing hand and that set everything off. So what I'm really proud of the fact for DC, though, is that they found an artist whose style worked with Judd Winnick's writing just like Howard Porter's was. The style's a little bit differently, but it's still digitally painted, so you still get that same fresh, new, and different feel that you got when you're reading the Howard Porter issues. I would say that Mauro Cassioli is a little bit more detailed than Howard Porter, but all in all, it's a fair trade because I'm still loving this series whenever it comes out. It probably got lost amongst the shuffle because it's not coming out monthly or bi-monthly or anything like that. But ever since they put on this new artist, they've pretty much come out with a bunch of issues in a row. You know, not monthly, but we're not having the big three-month gaps like we were in the last couple of issues. He's done, Mauro Cassioli started with number 9, and he's doing through number 12. I think he's a great addition to the DC stable, and I hope he does some more work. What I'm really liking is that Freddie Freeman actually feels like he's coming into his own character here in this miniseries. And as I've never read anything with Captain Marvel or anything like that, it's really cool to follow a character like that. So, but, you know, I said the same thing about Bart Allen as the Flash, so hopefully they won't kill him at the end of this number 12 book. But, you know, they won't, so don't worry about that. But I'm hoping this wraps up really great. so that we can see Captain Marvel maybe on the JLA or JSA or something, and interact with the regular DCU, because he's kind of been off-limits so far, because he's still been acquiring all his powers and stuff. So that's what I'm going to recommend. Be sure everybody checks out Raging Bullets and listens for BK's Bullets. I'm going to try and get some more out there more quickly, and keep listening to Comic Timing. Me and Ian got some great shows that we're going to churn out here pretty soon. And I'm sure John and Bob, you guys will be on there soon, so I'll talk to you guys later. Thanks a lot.
That's a great recommendation, Brant. And I've got to agree, Freddie really has been kind of coming into his own in this series. It's been a lot of fun. And I hadn't realized Porter had broken his drawing hand.
Yeah, that's news to me also. That kind of explains why this has been so late. You know, that's kind of like, you know, hey, I'll take that excuse. You know, it's like somebody physically broke their drawing hand. You know, you can't expect a whole lot. And this series is such a signature look from Howard Porter's art that I'm kind of glad they didn't go with some other artist just to get it finished off. So,
well, they did wind up doing that. That's this Mario.
Oh, is that this guy?
Cassioli or whatever. But they found somebody who had a very similar style.
Okay, yeah. He looks a lot like it.
To me, that's a compliment to both artists, that it wasn't one of those where it was such a noticeable difference in style. I mean, it was a very smooth transition, and one that, frankly, I hadn't really noticed. It has been fun. I hope they do some good stuff with Freddy and the rest of the Shazam family once the series is over. And definitely check out Raging Bullets. It's an excellent podcast, and of course, Brent contributes his segment, BK Bullets, very often over there. So definitely worth listening to, provided you've got some time.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
As much as I love Raging Bullets, they're only 24 hours in my day. I don't know how Sean and Jim crank out so many episodes so long that are so good, but definitely worth checking out. Now, the next one we wanted to talk about, Bob, was on page 90, and that's the Jack Kirby's OMAC, One Man Army Corps hardcover. And this is a collection of the 8-issue series from 1974-75, plus a few other things like some artwork from Who's Who and whatnot. And I'm glad they did this, because I was curious about, you know, the Kirby OMAC stuff, and even looked at the prices for the back issues at, I guess, my comic shop. And even there, and usually my comic shop has excellent prices. These were probably very good prices, but they were more than I was willing to pay. So being able to get the hardcover, which is $24.99, DCBS, Discount Comic Book Service, has it at 50% off, so you can get it for $12.49.
Yeah, and that's exceptionally reasonable for what you're getting here.
Yeah.
This is some good, you know, if you like the Fourth World stuff.
This should be fun, particularly with all the stuff going on with the OMAC technology and the Buddy Blank character in Countdown. Should be a good read.
Yeah, definitely.
Next up, we've got yet another submission from Damien. Actually, we've got two, and let's start with the first one, because I think you're going to have a few comments after this.
Yeah, and not like a big thing, but I just have an opinion, so.
Yeah, that's what we're here for.
Let's go for it.
Hey guys, it's Damien back again with my second selection for the month, and this one actually is one that I've loved ever since it's actually started coming out, which was the Starman Omnibus. I've actually had the trades of it, I've got all the issues for it. I can't say enough about this title. If you haven't read it before, you want to grab this title. It's actually the closest feeling to the DC Universe that I ever actually had to a Vertigo title. It was sort of like, could have fit in with John Constantine or a couple of others like that actually walking in there, or Swamp Thing or whatever. It actually is one of the best actual titles that I've ever read coming out of DC, and that's actually, you know, taking a big stand there. There's only probably one title that I love more than that, and I'll be talking about that a bit later on. But seriously, guys, $49.95, lovely hardcover, which we've been asking for so long. I was actually hoping for an absolute, but, you know, let's go. This is going to be a great selection. It's going to actually contain all of the Shade's journals. It's going to actually contain all of the spin-offs, like the Shade's miniseries, Girl Frenzy, the Mist special, plus everything else that's in that came along with that. So you really have to get this one. I can't say enough about it.
Now, I've got to agree that the Starman series was really good. I'm not going to say it was the best thing DC's ever done, but a lot of people think very highly of it, and I think it was some of James Robinson's kind of signature work, if you will. He did some stuff in that series in terms of such a definitive run. It was very impressive.
Now, I agree with everything Damian said about the quality of the work. Where I depart is Damian made the statement he'd been looking forward to getting it in a lovely hardcover. This is where I have my issue. I am really not a fan of DC's omnibus line for being lovely hardcovers. They're nice hardcovers. They're okay. You know, and for like older stuff, well, you know, the old Jack Kirby Fourth World stuff was pretty much printed on, you know, rough toilet paper, you know, back then. So putting it on this paper that they print these omnibuses on is an upgrade. And it doesn't look bad because that kind of printing that they used back then looks okay on that quality of paper. I mean, the quality of paper, we're doing a previews episode. Look at your previews. You know, look at the paper that they have in a preview. It's about that kind of paper, and it's certainly not terrible paper, right? I mean, you look at your previews, you've got it right there in front of you, right, John? I mean, that's not a terrible quality of paper.
Yeah.
However, it's not the same kind of paper that is in an archives book or an absolute book, right? And the issue that I have is, when you look at Starman, pretty sure that Starman, like a lot, because Damian also makes the point that it was almost like a Vertigo book in the DC universe, it had that same kind of full bleed color and nice paper that was in that. Now, I can't make a complete statement here because I don't know exactly what kind of paper they're going to print this on. I just know looking at the previous omnibuses, and DC took a lot of heat off the Fourth World ones. And then they upgraded the paper slightly for the Death of Superman omnibus, but then, you know, it still wasn't as nice as archive paper. And then on the Death of Superman omnibus, they went and they stuck that big ad on the cover, big circle, yellow circle, I think, that said, buy the Superman Doomsday DVD. You know, right printed on the cover, which pissed me off on a $75 book. I'm really not a fan of the omnibus line for many reasons like that. And I would love to get a really nice version of the Starman stuff. Another thing that DC's done lately with their hardcovers is, you know, they did that League of Extraordinary Gentlemen hardcover. And then they turned around a couple of months later, right after it came out, and they solicited a absolute version of the same exact material. So DC has done a lot lately to just really turn me off of their hardcover reprint program. And what I'm really saying is, I would love to have a high quality, nice Starman book. I am not convinced that the omnibus will be that. And sight unseen, I'm not willing to buy it. And I would rather wait a few years until they put out an absolute or something. And they probably will. You know, it's knowing them, that's something that is likely to come along at some point. And I just don't want to buy this format. I really am not willing to support this format from DC. They have burned their bridges with me on this one. And I buy a lot of hardcovers. I'm not buying any more omnibuses from DC.
And the other thing to keep in mind, and we talked about this on our monthly previews teleconference that we run on Skype, usually on the first Friday of every month, because this topic came up. We checked the prices for the Starman issues 0 through 16 on mycomicshop.com, and at the time, and this was, you know, a week or two back, you could get all of them in near mint condition, the actual comic books, for much less than you'd be paying for the hardcover full price, and about the same as what you'd probably be paying for it through DCBS. So that's something to think about.
Right. What did we figure? Like, you could get all the 17 issues that are in this for about $30 from mycomicshop.com, and then you're having the actual comics in your hands to read.
Right.
Instead of just reprints.
I'm trying to remember if there was a code word sale that influenced that or not, but I mean, hey, wait a week or two and there will be, sort of thing.
Yeah. I don't think so. I think that they were pretty much about, there were a couple that were around $2, but most of them were about $1.50 a piece.
Yeah.
And as good as this series was, it falls prey to a principle of out of sight, out of mind with comic fans. You know, it's not that the Jack Starman character is anywhere present in the DC universe anymore. So people who are collecting now, they don't know who he is. The back issues are just not in demand. They're not high price. They're really good. It has no bearing on how good the comic is. You know, it's like price of back issues and quality of the story, very little crossover there in many cases.
Yeah.
You know, like said, maybe in, you know, the case of historically significant, you know, first appearances and things. But in this case, my personal recommendation is look around. If you really want to read them, buy the comics. Read them as the regular comics, and in future, I will, you know, be happy to buy an Absolute or something that DC puts out. Or I could be proven wrong. You know, they could put this thing out, and it could be printed on beautiful paper, and then I'm going to regret not having bought it for 50% off. But I was so angry when I got that Superman Doomsday omnibus, and it had that big yellow ad printed on the cover. You know, I just don't want to do that again.
That's understandable. And we've got another clip from Damian, so let's play that.
Hey guys, it's Damian back again with my third selection here. It's one I actually didn't mention I was going to do, but I thought I'd throw it in there just because I'm going to be picking this one up for my son. It's actually going to be Super Friends number one. It's aimed for the 3 to 6 year old. It looks to be a fun little title. For what I've actually been told about it, you're going to have, you know, kids helping Batman and Superman sort of find the resolutions they need to. It should be just something fun for me to read to my son as he's going to sleep. This one, actually, I am really happy to sort of preach a bit to people about it. I've actually seen some preliminary art actually from another artist that's actually going to be doing work as of number 3, which is Stuart McKenney, who's a fellow Australian, so I've got to push this title just to show him up as well. You would know his art. He actually did the actual animated Clone Wars stuff. He did some of that as well. So this looks to be a fun little title. You know, if you've got kids, pick it up. You need to pick this one, okay?
Well, I got to admit, the Super Friends one does look interesting. It's not one I'm planning on picking up, but certainly I can see if you have kids, particularly young kids, which are the target audience for this, could be an excellent choice.
And it's based off of, there's this new set of DC toys in the, you know, the action figure aisles that have the look of that kind of style. They're kind of, they're DC versions of, trying to think what those Marvel superhero squad, you know, kind of very rounded, kid-friendly looking superheroes, you know, that you can give like really little kids.
Yeah.
Except much larger than the superhero squad figures. These are maybe about 6 inches tall.
I've seen a few of them and they look nice.
Yeah.
Now, the next thing we wanted to talk about was on page 102, and that's New Dynamics number 1 from Wildstorm. And this just looks interesting. They have a couple of preview pages on page 103, 104, and 105 of previews. And I like the art style. You know, it just seems intriguing and, you know, something that I'm interested in checking out. And, I mean, it's a 5-issue miniseries, so, you know, that's kind of a good sign, too, that they've got a clear story they want to tell, hopefully a good beginning, middle, and end, and, you know, we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, and this is the way to do it, I think. You know, just giving credit where credit is due. You know, you're soliciting something new that people have not seen before, and instead of just having a little blurb about it, they print 3 pages of the story. So I get to see the art, I get to see the panel-to-panel continuity, I get to read some of the writing, and it looks interesting. So I'm going to try it out, and I'm going to give it a go. So that's, I think, the best that they can hope for from that, you know, and that's going to stand on, you know, how good it is. But at least I'm going to be trying it now, whereas I might have passed this one by had they not done what they're doing here with the solicitation.
Yeah. Well, and one thing about the preview page, I don't know if you noticed it, but if you look at page 104, it's taking place in a radio station, and the call letters are KURB, Kirby.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a fun little touch. So, definitely should be fun. And DCBS had this at 50% off, so for $1.49, it's worth checking out.
Yeah.
And we have yet another contribution from Damian. He went all out this month, which I really appreciate. And let's listen to this next one.
Hey guys, it's Damian back again from the Cryptographic Podcast with what has to be my favorite title of all time. It is The Absolute Sandman number 3. Everybody's heard about The Sandman. Everyone should read The Sandman. It's actually in Absolutes now. Go get them. What more can I say? This is a title that every person needs to read. Neil Gaiman, it's some of his best writing that, you know, I've read a lot of Neil Gaiman stuff, and this is what I really love. You need to buy this title. Go get it. No ifs, no buts. Go get it now.
An imperative. I love it.
Yeah. Well, Damien and I have very different tastes in comics, but I've got to say that this is a really good pick, and Sandman was the series that took Neil Gaiman from being a guy named Neil Gaiman to the Neil Gaiman. And he's right. If you haven't read this, and it's even remotely near your comfort zone or whatever, you really ought to pick this up. Be it in absolute or trade paperback or whatever format suits you. And everything I've heard about these absolutes is they're just amazing.
Yeah, and this is the opposite to, you know, the Starman kind of thing. I mean, the absolute format that DC does is absolutely gorgeous. And I would not be hesitating to buy Starman if it was in an omnibus. Now, the Sandman if it was in an absolute, sorry, omnibus one I don't like. The absolutes are beautiful. Now, I have the regular Sandman hardcovers, and I'm still buying the absolutes also. I'm kind of like Damien. I love Sandman. And this volume, volume 3, has what is my absolute favorite Sandman story arc, which is Brief Lives. And that is my favorite one of the arcs from the Sandman, although I love the whole series. So certainly something to check out, and this is a nice package to check it out in.
Cool. The next one I wanted to talk about was on page 119, and that's Fables number 71, and DCBS has this at a 50% discount too. So again, $1.49, it makes it a lot easier to try than the full boat at $2.99. This is the first of a two-part story with the cloak and dagger expert of Cinderella back in action. And Fables is by far not only, you know, one of my favorite comics these days, but certainly I would say probably one of my favorite things that's ever come out of Vertigo. It's a really well-done series, and Bill Willingham has, you know, created a very rich and very interesting universe, and it just keeps building. The stories, you know, he plants seeds and they grow into really fun plot lines, really great characters. It's funny because Fables is set up such they could integrate it into the DC Megaverse seamlessly without damaging either Fables or the DC Universe. It could just be another one of the 52 Earths from the DC perspective, and the DC stuff could just be another Fables land from their perspective, which would be kind of funny, but that's totally beside the point. This is something that I think is one of Bill Willingham's best works. It's really fun. I think it's fairly accessible. This is, again, the first of a two-part story, so it should be very easy to get into, and one that I definitely recommend.
Yep, definitely. Fables is great.
Now, you wanted to talk about Vinyl Underground?
Yeah. Now, Vinyl Underground, this is starting a new story arc. They had the first trade solicited at some point in there at their standard really cheap price point. I really like this series. It's kind of, if you like Hellblazer, I guess you would like this. I'm going to guess. This is basically occult detectives in the UK. I guess they're describing it as Hellblazer meets the Mod Squad. And that's probably a pretty good description of it. It's just a very interesting story with some very compelling characters. I like the art. I like the writing. And it's one of the few Vertigos that I actually pick up monthly. Most of the Vertigo stuff I tend to read in trades. But Hellblazer and Vinyl Underground are a couple of the ones that I pick up on a monthly basis.
Cool. I think that pretty much does it for DC. Shall we head over to Image?
Sure.
And to start us off over there, we have, as you've probably guessed, yet another clip from Damien. Let's hear what he has to say on this title.
Hey guys, Damien yet again, and I'm bringing you something totally different, but sort of fits in with my style as well. I've been a fan of Joseph Michael Linzer art for so long now. I've loved his Dawn stuff. I've loved all of that stuff that he's put out. And we have a new series coming out called Dark Ivory. It's actually a title about a little goth girl who wants to be a vampire and goes down the wrong street. And, well, from what I can gather, she's going to become one. It should be a fun little title. The artwork looks beautiful. Have a look. It is a very cheesecakey book. Still, his art has always called out to me. I like the actual mood he puts behind it as well. I remember with the Dawn stuff, he actually had Gary Newman release a CD that went with it, which I've got sitting behind me at the moment. You've got to check this guy's art out at least. He just does beautiful women. There you go.
And this is a great recommendation, and one where I'm really glad they put in this extra page that showcases, I guess, the first four pages of the story, or at least four pages from the story. Because the cover looks good, but the interior pages are what sold me on the title.
It's very indicative of Linsner's art, you know, on the Dawn stuff. And he's done, he did that Claws miniseries at Marvel, which you, that's probably where you would be familiar with him from.
Yeah, I picked that up.
You know, it's just, this is his style, and he's got a beautiful, you know, the way he draws is just appealing to me. So anything he does, I pick up. So that's definitely on my list.
Before we get to the next one we had in our notes, I want to jump to page 145 and talk briefly about the Dynamo 5 annual number one. Dynamo 5 is a really fun series out of Jay Farber, and he's just doing some great stuff. So I just wanted to toss a quick mention out for that. It's got a cover price of $5.99, and through DCBS, they've got it at 50% off, so you can get it for $2.99. And that's one of those where, you know, at that price tag, getting half off certainly helps. And then on the next page, on 146, was the next item in our show notes, which was Noble Causes number 32. I've been reading this series since it started. This is also by Jay Farber, and he's kind of doing like what Kirkman's doing of defining his own little corner of the Image universe. And the Nobles are a key part of that. It's been a fun series since the beginning, and in this issue, they're jumping forward 5 years later. It's going to be a good jumping-on point for new readers, and it's kind of a new direction. They're making some changes, and you know, it should be a lot of fun. It's been a good series since it started, and this looks like a start of a new era for it that should be a good place for new readers to come on and hopefully enjoy it.
Yeah, I used to read Noble Causes, and I have not read it for a really long time. This is issue 32, and it's not out exactly monthly. I probably haven't read it since, you know, under 10 somewhere. And it was okay. It's just I kind of drifted away from it. There were just a lot of books on my radar at the time. But I'm going to get back into it with this one. It says first issue in a bold new direction. I'm going to give it a shot, and we can talk about it on the show when it comes out. We'll see how they do at re-engaging me as a fan with this issue.
Yeah. What's going to be interesting with that 5-year jump is how it kind of like ties in with his other titles, like Dynamo 5, and if essentially what had been happening in Noble Causes was 5 years ago, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, and just pretend it's now jumped to current day, or who knows. But he's doing some fun stuff. All right, next up is, as you've probably guessed once again, let's hear from Damien, see what's on his mind.
What a surprise, it's Damien.
But he's had some good recommendations so far.
Indeed he has.
Next up, we've actually got Mice Templar on page 162. Now, this title was one that I picked up originally. I gave the first one a look, and it almost grabbed me. It was sort of inched away. It was something missing. It made me take a couple of sittings just to get through the book. It just seemed long and sort of trying to introduce everything at once. But when issue 2 came, it just blew me away. What could I say about it? It actually brought a lot of the actual Norse myth and Celtic myth, which I've actually grown up sort of learning about and learning the ways of different things. It is going to be a phenomenal book if it keeps going like it did with number 2. Comes out bi-monthly, $2.99 every second month. That's a cup of coffee. Go get this one. If you read the first one and you actually didn't read the second one, go try the second one. Now, I'm not going to do what I did to Bob with Dr. Sleepless, which now he's actually a hopeless addict like I am. But really, if you didn't actually check out the second one, you dropped it after the first one. Since everybody was actually introduced, the story was able to go through and is so much like an actual, you know, watching a Celtic Norse battle scene going on with all the gods involved and everything, but it's mice playing out everything.
That's interesting because I read the first issue. As a matter of fact, I think we both talked about it on one of our episodes.
Yeah.
I found it kind of incomprehensible.
Yeah, and it, you know, actually it was the same way with Dr. Sleepless. I read that first one and I hated it. And then Damien talked me into getting the next one, and they really, now this says something about, you know, artists and writers who like write a completely impenetrable first issue for fans who don't have Damian talking them into coming back and reading the second issue on their books. But I'm actually gonna go out and buy issue 2 of Mice Templar and see if it is to my liking, as Damian said. Are you game for that, John?
Yeah, I suppose.
Let's get number 2 and we can throw it in as an extra on our on an episode of the show, since we both looked at number 1.
Sounds good.
And then that'll help me decide on whether I want to order number 3 out of previews here.
This is actually number 4.
Or 4, rather. This is 4. Well, I'd have to, I could send an email to Cameron and add 3 to my pull if I like number 2.
Yeah, because like you said, it was bi-monthly, and if they're just now listing 4, we got a little time before 3 comes out. But
yeah,
I gotta say, my Mice with Swords niche, you know, part of my collecting, Mouse Guard's doing pretty good with that.
That's true.
So, you know, I might be able to squeeze a second title in.
Yeah.
But if a third one, no. On page 163 is proof number 6, and it's part 1 of a new storyline, and DCBS has this at 50% off, so it's $1.49. And we just talked about, I guess it was proof number 3 recently on the Weekly Spotlight.
Right.
This title is just an excellent deal, because that third issue, as we mentioned in the Weekly Comics Spotlight, it was cover-to-cover proof. There were no in-house ads. Sure, some of it was text pages, but text pages about proof. There were tons of story pages.
Right.
The content was just really fun, really good, really engaging, and it's one I highly recommend, and I'm glad you recommended it to me, Bob, after I'd passed on the first issue.
Yeah.
Because it's fun.
Yeah, one of my favorite Image books that comes out. I mean, it's right up there. I mean, I'm finding, just from the variety, and I know Image, you know, pretty much publishes creators kind of, you know, own unique visions and stuff. But I find that I'm enjoying a lot of different Image books. I mean, there are quite a few. I mean, I don't get everything from them, obviously, but there's quite a lot of really good stuff come out of Image. And none of it's, you know, like the, would even have been like on the radar of, you know, Liefeld and the gang when they created Image, you know, but, you know, all this Kirkman stuff and, you know, books like Sorrow and Telos and Invincible, Hawaiian Dick and Proof, Walking Dead, The Sword, PvP, you know, just so many good things.
Well, I mean, in the early days of Image, they were mainly just doing kind of more of the same in a lot of respects. The difference between Youngblood and, you know, X-Force, not that great. Whereas now, they've got such a insane diversity of material that if you can't find something you do like at Image, you're not trying hard enough. Or you've got very narrow tastes. Because they cover the superhero stuff, they cover the Mice Sword stuff, the supernatural. I mean, almost every imaginable genre, if it's being published, Image has something in that area. They should definitely be commended for their just diversity of material. And along those lines, I think the next item you wanted to talk about, Bob, was on page 167.
Right. And talk about, you know, personal visions and just completely different than anything else you read is True Story Swear to God. And this is the latest issue, number 11, that's coming out. And it's titled as The True Story of a Real Life Romance. And that's really what it is. The artist and writer, Tom Beland, he lived in Napa Valley, California. He was at Disney World. And on a bus bench at Disney World, waiting for one of those buses that brings you on, he met Lily, who was a radio talk show or DJ, you know, from Puerto Rico. And they hit it off. They fell in love. He moved to Puerto Rico. You know, he had to adjust to the different culture in Puerto Rico. Just his whole life, he moved away from his family, you know, to live in Puerto Rico. And, you know, ultimately they get married and stuff. They haven't quite gotten to the wedding in this. But, I mean, the whole thing, you know, it goes through their romance. It goes through him making the decision to move, the move, the acclimating to the culture, just all kinds of things. It's really slice of life kind of stuff. And it's just fabulous. So Again, can't recommend this one enough. I mean, this is not going to appeal to someone who just likes watching, you know, superheroes beat the living crap out of each other or something. But, you know, if there's some diversity you're looking for, this is certainly something that can fill that niche.
Well, you've pretty much talked me into checking out the title. I went ahead and ordered, I guess it was the Archive last month. I picked up the first 8 issues of this series locally and have put issue 11 here and the previous 2 on order with DCBS. So at some point I will try to find the time once I get all that and plow through all of it and get current, and we'll talk about it then.
Yeah, I think it's just, to me, it's charming. It's just a complete change of pace from every other comic book that I read in a given month. You know, there's no other comic book like it out there.
Yeah, and that's part of what appeals to me. And, you know, the fact that Tom Bilan does everything. You know, it's such a singular vision and has been around long enough to kind of, you know, be time-tested. That says a lot. Because there are a lot of people who have a singular vision, but it just doesn't work in the marketplace, whatever.
Yeah.
And the fact that this does.
Yeah, he's written a couple of Marvel comics, too. In fact, he wrote the Fantastic Four one-shot Isla de La Muerte that came out a week or so ago, where the FF go to Puerto Rico, and you get some Puerto Rico lore kind of woven into your FF story. I enjoyed that story, too.
I've still got it sitting in my to-read stack, but I'm looking forward to it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're done with Image.
Marvel time.
We will now flip over to the tiny little booklet that's only 100 pages long and look at Marvel. What do we got first?
Black Panther number 35 on page 30 of the Marvel booklet. I've been enjoying it. To be frank, I mean, I like what Reggie Hudlin's been doing. I have not been as in love with the FF stuff as the stuff that wasn't in the FF with this book. And this one, it's, you know, back to Africa. He's back in Wakanda with Storm. I like the marriage. I like the way that they tied that into Marvel continuity and all of that. And the fact that they're going back a little more, I'd like to see how she integrates into this story. It's just the way he's kind of woven and enhanced the story of Wakanda in this current run of the book, you know, as how they are and how they've, maybe just the way he told how they got so technologically advanced and how they've been so much more technologically advanced than the Europeans and all the other people for all that time and have really created this paradise within Africa. I really like this story. I'm looking forward to this issue.
They're doing some interesting stuff in that title, and I've been enjoying a lot of it. And I agree that the way they're handling Black Panther, Wakanda, and stuff is just, it's great. It's fun. It's really building up that part of the Marvel mythos.
And we got a special discount on this one also, so it's not going to set you back that far to try it out. If you haven't been reading Black Panther, this is a great jump-on point for you. It's $1.50 from DCBS. Am I correct on that, John?
$1.49, yeah.
Yeah, so check it out.
Now, the next one we wanted to talk about was on page 44 of the Marvel previews, and that's Ms. Marvel number 25. It's a double-size issue. It ties into the Secret Invasion, the Infiltration. And it's got a very intriguing cover with, you know, Ms. Marvel looking to be a Skrull, which, who knows, maybe that's true, maybe that's a fake out or something. And this title's been doing really good. I think it started a little, you know, questionable at the beginning, but with Civil War, with the Initiative, it really found its footing, found its direction, and, you know, I think with Secret Invasion, it could get even better, and it's been fairly solid lately. And we've got a 50% off deal at DCBS with this. You can get it for $1.99, which for a $3.99 cover price, that helps.
Certainly does. Every 50% off deal we can get, I'll take. But, you know, it's like, it's great, you know, for trying something out. I think having a good discount to get somebody to try something that they wouldn't otherwise try is a good way. And it's, you know, good for places that are jumping on points in series, first issues, things like that. I've certainly tried things that I would maybe not have tried. And some of them I like, and I add to my pull, and some of them I don't. but, you know, it's a good deal for us.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, you know, the next one we have is Nova number 11, I believe, on page 48.
Yeah.
And that's another one like that where I've really, really been enjoying this Nova run since the relaunch about a year ago. And this issue is the first one after the Annihilation Conquest storyline. So again, good jumping on point. If somebody's been following the Annihilation arc, maybe they'll continue with the Nova series, but I really like the space stuff in Marvel. That's probably some of my favorite stuff that Marvel's been putting out lately, is this Annihilation stuff and the cosmic space heroes on the Marvel side. I really like that a lot.
The Nova series has just been very solid in terms of consistent quality, good writing, good art, and it's one I'm really enjoying. You know, so seeing where they go with the new storyline post Annihilation Conquest should be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. All right, next up, we've got a recommendation from Wood. Let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, everybody, it's Wood, and I am here to recommend Cable number 1. Now, Cable is a new ongoing series featuring, of course, the man who is from the future, the Ascani son, Nathan Summers. Cable's been a long-standing member of the X-Men titles ever since he was created back in the early 90s by Rob Liefeld. Now, I would say at times, Cable has been a very compelling character. Unfortunately, at other times, he's been a very uninteresting character. And so I think because of that, a lot of people may look at this series and think, eh, we'll see. But I'm telling you right now that I have a strong feeling that this is one that you're going to want to pick up from the start, and you'll be pleasantly surprised. Why do I say that? Well, first of all, this ongoing is coming directly out of the Messiah Complex, which has been the X-Book crossover of the last few months. Without question, Messiah Complex has been, to my mind, the best event in the X-Books in a long, long time. It was great storytelling, and I think it really does change the status quo of the X-Books in a way that should make for very interesting storytelling for the next few years. This Cable was a central figure in Messiah Complex. I'm not going to get into what his role was, because I'm going to presume that if you haven't read it, you're planning to. But either way, you have to take my word that Cable is now a central figure in the world of the mutants, more so than he's been in a long time. Secondly, the book is being written by Dwayne Swarzynski, who is indeed a relative newcomer, but I did talk about him last month. He's writing a Punisher one-shot. He also wrote a fantastic Moon Knight annual. It's far and away better. That Moon Knight annual was probably better than the ongoing 12 issues combined. So I really think that he's going to be perfect for this book. He is, by trade, a crime noir novelist, and I think he's going to bring a sensibility to the character that we haven't seen in a long time. The other thing I think that really works for this book is that it's going to be penciled by Ariel Olivetti. Now, Ariel Olivetti was most recently the penciler on Punisher War Journal, written by Matt Fraction. And to be honest with you, I kind of didn't like his stylings on that book, because I felt that he just simply drew the Punisher to be way, way too big. At times he made the Punisher look like a professional wrestler, and to me that's just too big. But I really think his style works extremely well for Cable, because Cable is, by all, for all intents and purposes, a really larger-than-life individual. So you could see some of the interior pages in this Marvel previews, and I think they look absolutely stunning. So you've got a very promising writer, you've got, I think, a perfect artist for this book, and you've got a character who, no matter how you slice it, is at the epicenter of what's going on in the mutant universe now. So give it a try. You can find the book on page 59 of Marvel Previews. It's 32 pages. Again, written by Dwayne Swarzynski, pencils and cover by Ariel Olivetti. It retailed for $2.99, but I know DCB Service is offering a 50% discount for the first issue, so give it a whirl and get your mutant freak flag on. Back to you, Bob and John.
Cool. Thanks for sending that in, Jason.
I'll tell you what, I never thought I would buy a Cable book, but I'm going to be buying this one. I love Ariel Olivetti's art, so I'm definitely going to be checking this one out. I still find it questionable to go around with a baby strapped to your chest if you are up to as much mayhem as a Cable is normally up to, but I give it the artistic license there.
Hey, again, it worked for Nomad. but I kind of agree with you on that. I also want to do a quick callback to Logan number 1 on page 69 of the Marvel previews that Ian had talked about earlier in the episode. It's written by Brian K. Vaughan. As Ian mentioned, there's a discount on that at DCBS where it's 99 cents. Kind of hard to go wrong with that. Now, I got two items I wanted to mention out of the collected editions section of the Marvel previews, and frankly, that's not a section I tend to dive into that often. The first item is on page 105, and that's the Earth-X Trilogy Companion trade paperback, and they're going to have a collection of sketches, background material, and quote-unquote incredible insights. The Earth-X 1/2, the never-before-printed X-51 Earth-X prequel that was serialized online. I really liked a lot of the Earth-X stuff, and this looks obviously like a good companion for it, so I'm very interested in checking that out. If you liked any of the Earth-X or Universe-X stuff, you might want to look into this. It's 40% off at DCBS, so instead of paying the full price of $29.99, you'd be able to get it for $17.99, which is a pretty good deal. Now, the other thing I'm interested in is on page 109 of the Marvel previews, and that is the Essential Official Handbook of the Marvel Universe Master Edition Volume 1 Trade Paperback. And yes, that's a bit of a mouthful, but it is a collection of the entire run of the Master Edition of the Marvel Universe. It's an essential, so it'll be black and white. And the Master Edition was the one that was the loose leaf format that had the front, the side, the back version of all the characters. While I would certainly prefer that to be collected in a color version, I'll take what I can get. I'm an information junkie, so of course I've gotten all of these essential handbooks, even though I've got not only the entire run of the Master Edition, I've got two copies. So I don't need another copy, but, you know, I'm going to get another one. And this was, you know, 50% off. So for $8.49, it's like, come on, how can you pass it up?
How indeed.
Well, that takes care of the premier publishers. Let's now dive into the back half of previews and start talking about some of these other publishers. And to start us off, we've got another segment from Wood. So let's hear what he has to say.
Hey, everybody. I have a favor to ask. Whether or not you've ever before in your life thought about buying an independent, self-published book, even if you're the kind of guy that never, ever looks past the first half of previews, I'm asking, as a favor to good old Woodrow, to do something different this month. And the reason I'm asking you to step out of your comfort zone is because I'm so sure that if you try this book I'm about to recommend, you won't be sorry. The book I'm talking about is Echo Number 1. This is, of course, Terry Moore's newly released original series. Now, Terry Moore should need no introduction. He is, of course, the creator, author, writer, publisher of Strangers in Paradise, which he just wrapped up in 2007 after a 14-year, 107-issue run. Now, let me again say without equivocation that I'm a guy that spent most of my comic book reading life reading mainstream Marvel and DC. Last year, I gave Strangers in Paradise a try, and in about 2.5-3 weeks' time, I read all 107 issues. I couldn't put it down. It was that good. Moore understands great storytelling, characterization, and long, well-developed plots. He doesn't miss a beat in any aspect of sequential storytelling. So the fact that he's back now with Echo Number 1, I'm begging you guys to give it a try. Now, even if just Terry Moore was writing a book about watching paint dry, it might be worth it. But this time, he's actually giving us a science fiction yarn. It's basically a story about Julie Martin, who is a young, attractive photographer, and she lives in California. I guess one night she's out photographing something in the desert, and there's an explosion in the sky. As fallout rains down on her, she gets infected with a symbiotic living bomb. And then the series goes on from there, of course, and you can imagine that it'll probably be many, many years of understanding what exactly her infestation means and what those powers mean, and if there's a greater purpose. But either way, I'm telling you guys, it's going to be beautifully illustrated, it's going to be well written, it's going to be entertaining issue to issue, but it's also going to have a much deeper, longer plot that will pay off if you hang in there. It's on page 200 and 202 and 15. It's all over previews. You can't miss it. Terry Moore, he's a sure thing. Give it a try. You won't go wrong. Heck, I'll even give you a money-back guarantee on this one. Yep, I'm pulling a Jamie D. Try Echo number 1, and if you absolutely hate it, contact me on email, and I'll send you your money back. Thanks very much, John, Bob. Enjoy the book. I know I will.
Wow, he's going to offer a money-back guarantee on that. That shows commitment.
Well, I was getting this anyway, and I also loved Strangers in Paradise, so I probably won't be taking him up on the guarantee, but it's nice to have it out there. I think anyone should give this one a try. We've got special discount of 50% off on this one at DCBS. It's $1.75. You know, just give this one a shot.
Well, I'm going to be getting it, but I'm going to be getting it through DCBS, but I'm going to tell Jason I'm getting it for full price and that I hated it. No, I'm just kidding.
There you go.
So, no, that's a great recommendation, and it should be a fun book. I'm looking forward to it. They made good use of the space in previews because they did, you know, very sketch stuff, some behind-the-scenes things for it. Looks interesting. Next up, we've got an item on page 223, and, you know, it's been a little while since we've heard from Damien, so let's hear from Damien.
It's Damien back again, and this one's actually a bit of self-indulgence for myself here. This is actually on page 223. It's the resolicitation of the Revere Revolution in silver hardcover. Now, from all I know, this is actually still the first printing of it. It's not actually a second printing. They've just actually had it relisted again. Put out by Avatar, going for $19.95. It actually collects all four issues of the Revere miniseries that came out. There's a couple of extra pages of actual story as well, so you can actually see how they actually wanted to finish it, but with everything that was going on with Alias at the time, Alias were really trying to screw the pooch with it all. And also, just after you get past the sketchbook in it, I've got my 15 Minutes of Fame with my first actual published work in there. Grab that book. It's a fun read. Don't just buy it because I've got a story in there, but if I ever meet you, I'll sign it. Okay, bye.
Cool. Well, we should, you know, support Damien, and if you like Revere, definitely pick up the hardcover.
Yeah.
So, and congratulations, Damien, on getting published.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I want to do another callback to, on page 261, to the Army of Darkness Xena Why Not number 1 issue that Ian mentioned. You know, if you like Army of Darkness and Xena, and you remember what Ian said way back when and stuff when we started this episode, pick it up. 4-issue limited series, should be a lot of fun. And then next up, we have another contribution from Jason.
Hi guys, this month I want to recommend something a bit different. An original graphic novel called Night Fisher by a newcomer named R. Kikuo Johnson. Now, Night Fisher can be found on page 293 of this month's previews. It's an original graphic novel, black and white, 144 pages, and is $12.95 retail. Now, what drew me to this book, I didn't know anything about it until I looked through and saw it in previews, but what drew me to the book is the description tells a tale of a real coming of age. It's about a young teenage boy named Lauren Foster who moves to Hawaii as a early high school student and has to deal with the trials and tribulations of that kind of change in his life, making new friends, finding a way to adjust in a new crowd, and it looks like the book chronicles a good 6 years of his life, from that early period of adolescence all the way through to young adulthood. And certainly for me, I've always been drawn to well-written coming-of-age tales, and this looks like it may fill the bill. Although there's a pretty decent description within previews on page 293, I would really recommend, if you're at all considering this book, that you give it a quick Google. You can find quite a few reviews of it from both book review sites and graphic novel review sites. And to tell you the truth, every review is astoundingly positive. If the reviews live up to the book itself, I mean, I have a feeling this could be the next Blankets or Persepolis, you know, that graphic novel that transcends the comics medium and is recognized as one of the better books of the year. So again, I'm going to give this a try. I have seen a few of the interior pages, and the artwork is perfectly fitting for, I think, the story. I'm looking forward to it, and I'd be curious if anyone else reads it, what they think too. So give it a try. Again, it's called The Night Fisher by R. Kikuo Johnson, page 293 of this month's previews. John, Bob, back to you.
Well, thanks for sending that in, Jason. That was one that had totally, you know, slipped under my radar. I don't know that it's something that I'll be getting, but it certainly sounds interesting. Next up, over at IDW, there are two items that looked interesting, both of which I'm planning on getting. And the first is the Star Trek New Frontier number 1 from Peter David. And this is going to be a ongoing comic series with all new stories featuring the characters from this branch of the Star Trek franchise that previously had been exclusive to the novels written by Peter David. And there are some familiar faces in the cast of characters.
Commander Shelby, for one, who was in the Next Generation TV series during one of those Borg storylines.
Yeah. Well, and one of the other ones was the one that Ashley Judd played.
Oh, yeah, Robin Loeffler.
Right. So I've read the first 10 or so of the novels and really enjoyed them. It was a very interesting cast of characters, a lot of fun stories. And, I mean, Peter David knows his Star Trek stuff and writes really good Star Trek stories. So this should be a very interesting series. And the first storyline features a prototype time ship that vanishes. So they got to go figure out what happened. And, you know, I like time travel stories, so that helps too. The Star Trek New Frontier, 50% off, so it's $1.99 at DCBS. It's $3.99 full price. On page 305, there's FX number 1 with art by John Byrne and written by Wayne Osborne.
Was it Tim that was telling us the story on the previous call, John, about how John Byrne ended up drawing this book?
Yeah, why don't you go tell the story? It's pretty interesting.
And I hadn't realized this, but apparently there was something going on where, you know, John Byrne had made some statement saying as long as somebody would pay him X amount of dollars, and I forget what it was like $10,000 an issue or something like that. I don't remember the exact amount. He'd be willing to draw, you know, whatever, you know, kind of script for somebody. And these guys came up with that money and they said, hey, you know, we'll have John Byrne be the artist on our new series. It really seems to be a story that is playing to John Byrne's strengths. You know, you have kind of the young superhero. You got kind of crazy, you know, on the cover of this first one, big ape that holding a young lady and all this kind of stuff. But I love John Byrne's art. Mostly what I haven't liked lately is when John Byrne does both the writing and the art.
Yeah.
At a period there, I really liked John when he was doing both. You know, like Alpha Flight, when he was doing that, his seminal run on Fantastic Four, certainly, you know, lots of different things like that. But, you know, some of his stuff just isn't right up my alley when he's doing the writing. But I've always loved his art. So this is certainly worth a try out. And again, it's a $3.99 book that has a special discount. And in fact, the special discount on this one is you can buy up to two of them at 60% off for $1.59, the cover price $3.99, and then subsequent issues would be 50% off, or $1.99. If you felt compelled to buy more than two, you would fall down into the 50% off range. I think I will be able to restrain myself with one copy myself, but that's a good price.
I tell you, ever since I discovered you could reread the same issue, my need to buy duplicate copies dropped immensely.
Yeah, that's true.
No, this should be a fun series. I'm looking forward to it. I like John Byrne's art, and, you know, if somebody was willing to pay, you know, be it the $10,000 an issue or really whatever it would take to get John Byrne to draw the series, that shows a certain confidence in the quality of the material in terms of the writing. So that's a good sign.
Well, I just want to do a quick shout-out on page 306. Just Rogue Angel, Teller of Tales. And I'm just, you know, Renee DeLiz is the artist on this, and she did a commission drawing for me of Zatanna that's beautiful. It's one of my favorite ones that I've got of Zatanna, and I'm picking that up just because I love her art. So anyone ever, you know, looks at my thing, I've got, I think, my comic space, you can go, or my comic sketch gallery page, you can check out some of her art or even check this thing out. It might be worth checking out if you like art.
Cool. Yeah, I would hope most people who read comics like art, but yeah. On page 336, I didn't want to do a quick shout-out to Red 5 Comics. They've got Afterburn number 2 and Atomic Robo number 6, which is the final issue of Atomic Robo.
Let's just say final issue for now, I hope.
Yes.
And not the final issue ever. It should be the final issue of this first arc.
Right, first miniseries, and yeah, hopefully they'll come back and do some more, because it's a fun character. But so far, everything we've read from Red 5 has clicked with us, has really worked for us, and they're putting out excellent material, high production quality, and at a $295 price point. I recommend you keep an eye on what Red 5 is doing, and if any of it looks of interest to you, check it out. They're putting out quality material. And then, I believe, finally, we've got one more recommendation for an item on page 382.
Wait, who could it be from?
Yes, I was gonna say. Whoever could it be? We'll leave that as a mystery. See if you can guess.
Hey guys, Damien from Cryptographic yet again, and this is going to be the last time you get to hear from me this month, but I think I should end off with a zombie-rific book, according to previews, which is Living Corpse number 3, done by Ken Hasser and Buzz Hansen on page 382. This one's actually coming out bi-monthly. If anyone went to CGS 300, you most probably picked up the half issue from it. They've been good friends to us at Cryptographic, so I've got to pimp their product. They do the zombie book for people who don't like zombies. Basically, it is a zombie that sort of remembered who his family was and everything, and he's gone out to actually kill other supernaturals. You actually have him in the half issue taking on a vampire, the zero issue, that's where he actually regains his memories, and it's just a fun book. If it wasn't, you know, it's done in a very cartoony style, it is wonderful. If it wasn't actually for the zombie eating brains, I would actually be sharing this one with my 3-year-old. So I'll wait till he's 10, I think. Grab the book, $2.99, 32 pages, full color, get it.
Cool. Again, Damien has different tastes in comics than I do. But that's part of why I'm glad he submitted so many things, is I like having these episodes encompass more than just what the two of us really like in comics.
Well, I mean, I like a lot of the same books as he does, and he turned me on to this. Well, I haven't gotten any issues yet, so it remains to be seen, but on the same page as Living Corpse, this Willow Creek, he turned me on to that several months ago, and I've ordered it. Again, I've yet to get the first issue to determine if I'll like that, but that's the kind of book that I do like. So I have a lot of similarities to what I like to Damien, too, so I appreciate when he calls my attention to some of these books.
Well, you know, when the previews catalog is well over 500 pages, you've got another, you know, over 100 pages in the Marvel previews, it's easy for items to fall through the cracks. And just to skip past something that you might like. So anything we can do to point stuff out to people and help match them up with the comics they would enjoy is worthwhile.
Right.
We have an open submission policy on these episodes. As soon as the new solicitations start coming out, if you want to send in submissions for items you recommend, by all means do so. We officially open up the submission process when the new previews information comes out online. But if you want to jump the gun and it's an actual item in the previews, by all means do so. We usually close submissions on the second Saturday after previews is released, and usually on that second Friday after previews is released is when we hold our conference call discussing the items on Skype, and everyone is invited to that. We only have, I think, about 10 people we can fit in through a Skype teleconference, but certainly everybody is welcome to try to participate on that. Anything else, or does that pretty much cover it?
I think that does it.
Cool.
Thanks, everyone, for listening.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.